And thank you for being in tune as well, because what I want to talk about is something that's akin to what we've already heard this morning, that if we look back in our lives, we will see that there have been precious moments. Moments when we have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And I think the emphasis this morning, what the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us, is how important it is for each one of us to have that word from the Lord, a precious moment. I don't know if you look back on your own Christian experience, whether you've ever had that precious moment where the Lord has spoken to you a personal word, a word that's meant something precious to you. And as we were worshipping and I was listening to Steve this morning, I was reminded of a moment for me. And we're going to look at a scripture in a while where a woman had a moment with the Lord. But for me, I was not brought up in a Christian home. I was part of a large family. And eventually I found myself going to Sunday school when I was 10 years old. And eventually, after a few months, I responded to the Lord Jesus and I gave my life to him, and I've never gone back from that. And I've always valued the friendship and the support and the love of God's people, God's Christian family. And some years ago, quite unexpectedly, a phone rang at home and I was invited to go to Israel. And it wouldn't cost me anything. All I needed to do was to be there and to turn up at Heathrow, and there would be spend a week touring Israel as a guest of the Israeli government. We got to the point where we were at the Sea of Galilee. And that's the place where Jesus spoke to the multitudes. And then he broke the bread and he fed them with the loaves and the fishes and so on. And there's one particular place, there's a church which gives you a wonderful view across the Sea of Galilee. And in this church, or near to the church, there's a little gift shop. So the group that I was with, other ministers from around the country and from different parts of the world, we were having a look, and they were invited to walk down through the hills to the Sea of Galilee itself. And so off they went in that direction. And I thought, oh, I'd like to go and get something that I've spotted in the Christian bookshop. So I went back and bought what I was looking for, came out, where's my group gone? I knew they'd gone off in that direction. And so I followed the trail. But they were long gone, they were out of sight. And as I'm walking through the hills of Galilee, nobody was about. I stopped. And I looked across at the place where Jesus would have addressed the multitudes. And I said, Lord, why have you brought me here? And ever so clearly, it was one of those precious moments. And I felt the Lord speak into my heart. He said, when you want to know someone and you want to get them to know better, you invite them to your home. And I've invited you to where I was brought up. Do you know, that was a precious moment for me. Because I felt somehow that I was not just one of a large family. At that moment, I was a precious child of God. And that he loved me, and he had something particular for my life. And this morning, we're going to look at the occasion when Jesus met a woman, and he spoke to her, and for her, it was a precious moment. Jesus had a one-to-one with this woman. Let's just read from the scripture. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to just read a few verses. From verses 4 to 29. But Jesus needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Midday. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give to him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give to him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and in that you have spoken truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, I am he. At this point, his disciples arrived, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men of the city, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? This Bible reading comes to us from John's Gospel. Now, John's Gospel begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Later it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So I've entitled my talk this morning to The Word at the Well, where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. John's Gospel, when John compiled the Gospel, he carefully selected certain things to include into the Gospel, and there's many things that he left out. In fact, he says at the end of his book, there are many things that haven't been recorded here that Jesus did and said that I haven't selected and I haven't put in. So what John did select and what John did put in, what the Lord allowed for that to happen, must be quite important. And this portion of Scripture, long portion of Scripture in John's Gospel, focuses on Jesus' time with this woman of Samaria. As we've already had indicated from the Scriptures, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really associate much with one another. Jesus could have gone on a journey and taken a different route, but the Scripture describes that he needed to go through Samaria. And in this encounter, we have recorded here some wonderful truths. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about some important truths, three of them in particular. One is about witnessing, one is about worship, one is about the water of life. Many Christian people find it difficult to start sharing their faith with others. And so here, when we're talking about witness, I would just simply like to say what witness is when we're sharing our faith is one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. When you've found something worthwhile, when you've found something necessary in life, when you've found something worthy of sharing, it's easy. I'm sure when you've discovered something, I'm sure when you've encountered something you wanted to tell someone, it's been easy to tell them. And people have found that once you let go of this idea of having to remember all the Bible or remember all theology, and all you're doing when you're talking about the Lord to someone else, all you're doing is simply sharing food. You're showing one beggar where to get food from because you've discovered yourself where your source of nourishment is. The Lord Jesus himself has revealed himself to you, and you have been sustained, you have been strengthened, you have been nourished by him. I don't know whether you've ever had, like this woman of Samaria, one of these one-to-one, face-to-face moments with the Lord Jesus. But Jesus took time to go out of his way. He needed to go through Samaria. There was something waiting for him. He was tired. He was weary. He sat at the well. This woman came along. Normally, people who go to the well, they would get their water early in the morning when it's cool, when they got strength to carry it back home. So you ask yourself questions about why this woman went at midday, the worst time of day to go and fetch or carry. Could it be that she had been kind of ostracized from her community? We don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus sat at this well, tired from his journey. It was an everyday context. Witnessing hasn't got to be difficult. In an everyday context, we can share what we know. Jesus was described as being weary. Truly, he was the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. And he demonstrated he was weary, he was thirsty. And at this well, he met a woman. And one of the key things to learning how to share your faith with others is understand that in an everyday context, the Lord can open up an opportunity for you. You can meet people at the point of their need. Where that need is, could be in the street, could be in the supermarket, the hospital, at work, in the office, at school, wherever you may be. And here this woman came, not this day expecting anything dramatic, but he met her at the point of her need. Although he said to her, I've got a need, give me some water, as he began the conversation in this ordinary everyday context, it soon came to light that this woman had a need. Who was she? She was a Samaritan woman. Again, John selected this encounter to help us understand about Jesus' ministry. It wasn't just continuing the cultural style of men leading the way. Jesus was taking time out to associate with a woman. This woman, perhaps, would be described as an outcast. I've described her as an empty outcast. She came when nobody else would be around. Perhaps they knew her reputation. Perhaps they knew that she'd tried so many different relationships and nothing had worked out. Perhaps she'd got a name for herself. We don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus spent time alone with her in a one-to-one, face-to-face, a heart-to-heart, sharing some important things and making an impact in her life. Here in this everyday context, Jesus met this empty outcast. And as he began a conversation with her, I think he was demonstrating something which we can learn from when we read in the scriptures about the various ways that the Holy Spirit helps us in our work and in our witness. One of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us is give us sometimes a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And as he's talking to this woman, Jesus has a word of knowledge. The Lord drops into his heart an inner knowing about this woman. I don't think that he had an idea of her background. I don't think he was aware. But God knew. God knew the desperation and the need of her heart. And he arranged this encounter where Jesus could spend this quality time with this woman and talk to her about her heart's need. Although she was an empty outcast, Jesus said, you've had five husbands. He was exercising a word of knowledge, and I know, and perhaps you too, there have been times in your life and experience where the Lord has dropped something into your heart that you've been able to share with someone, and they've said, thank you for that word. Or how did you know that, such and such? The Lord is at work when he gives us these gifts. This woman was an empty outcast, and she met Jesus. He gave her a heart to heart. He spent time with her. And she was beginning to discover the difference that Jesus could make. So what was the place? It was an everyday context. It was at the well. What was the person? An empty outcast. What about the purpose of this encounter? The purpose of this encounter is what we read in the scripture there. It said, when Christ shall come, everything will be revealed. And Jesus said, don't you know? I am he. The purpose of this one-to-one, this face-to-face, this precious moment, was that this woman would have an encounter with Christ. Now, I don't know about you, if you look back on your life, I don't know whether you can focus back on a moment. In fact, I'm asking you to do that, if you will. Focus back on a moment and say, when was that moment when I had an encounter with Christ? When I had that precious moment? When I knew that the Lord had taken time to speak personally to me in my life? And I guess this is the theme of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. For although there's so much going on in our world today, we still need to know the value of those precious moments with Jesus. This woman perceived that Jesus was a Jew, maybe by his appearance, maybe by the way he spoke, maybe by the things he said, I don't know. And she thought, well, he's more than a Jew. He's the prophet. He's telling me things about my life. And this woman begins to think about religious things. Yeah, I'm talking to a prophet here. I don't know whether this is a defensive mechanism that she had. Sometimes we get that when we're talking to people. They come out with red herrings. They want to start debating all kinds of things with you. But Jesus didn't allow that to continue because he knew that it wasn't just a debate that she needed. She needed a precious moment with him, an encounter with Jesus that was going to transform her life. And a lifestyle which is more than just religious duty is what Jesus wants for us. And Jesus began to talk to this woman about, well, she brought it up, didn't she? Worship. She said, oh, you're a prophet. And so I'll think about something theological to talk to him about. Now, the Samaritans, they had set up a place of worship nearby, Mount Gerizim. And they'd stayed with that. They thought, from years and years ago, they thought that that was the place that God wanted them to be. It's whereas King David had established a place in Jerusalem. And we know the rest, the temple was built, and it became a center of Jewish life and worship. So there was this contention between this group, the Samaritans, and the Jewish people. And you find them, those contentions, throughout the world. In all kinds of situations, there are differences of opinions. And this woman wanted to debate a difference of opinions on a religious theme. But Jesus was wanting to introduce her to a lifestyle that was more than just religion. And she said, well, should we be worshipping here? Or should we really be worshipping in Jerusalem? What do you think? And Jesus began to talk to her about the heart of worship. In fact, it's interesting that Scripture doesn't specifically say what worship is. There are a few words in the Greek language and the Hebrew language help us. But worship is an act of the heart more than anything else. It's a voluntary act. And worship is more than just praise. there are moments. Let's say, for instance, you invite us to your house for a meal. And I'll use this description. Your wife cooks us a lovely meal. And so at the end of the meal, I can say to you quite openly, oh, your wife's lovely. She's done a good thing for us. She's made us a lovely meal and so on. So I'm praising her, aren't I? But when I go home, my relationship with my wife is more than just praising her. In a sense, it's a bit more intimate than that. And worship is more than just praise. Worship is an attitude of heart towards the Lord. I've got a few little words to say to you. Proskuneo is a Greek word. Pros, towards. Kuneo, to kiss. A description of worship. An act of homage or reverence. Sibomai, to revere. A feeling of awe or devotion. Latrio, to serve, which is to render religious duty or homage. Eusebio, to act piously towards. And a Hebrew word, aboda, service, sacrifice, or offering. These descriptions help us to understand worship comes from the heart. It's not just what we do with our bodies and the religious ceremonies that we may go through. I've written a quote out from one of the books that I've got in my study. Worship of God is nowhere defined in Scripture. It's not confined to praise. It may be regarded as a direct acknowledgement to God of his nature, his attributes, his ways and his claims, whether by heart or in praise and thanksgiving, or by deeds done. So let's look again about what Jesus said to this woman about worship. Where to worship? She brought the subject up here or in Jerusalem. And Jesus responded by saying, it's not here, it's not in Jerusalem, it's indefined. Where you worship can be where you are. So don't just think that coming to a building or coming to a particular edifice, you can worship, you can have those precious moments where you offer to him thanksgiving, adoration, an offering of service or sacrifice. That can be anywhere. There are not many scriptures that Jesus talked. There's not many places in the Gospels where Jesus talked about worship. This, perhaps, is one of the few. And there are some precious nuggets in here for us to look at. He said worship is indefined, can be anywhere. And he knows the frailty of our hearts. Because our hearts, in fact, the Old Testament says the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Our hearts will tend towards celebrating something or someone. That's just the way we've been created by God. So that something or someone could be a football team, it could be a celebrity or a pop star or something that captures our heart's imagination and overwhelms our life, so that we tend to live our life with this big image that we worship. I'm using that inadvisedly, really, because people don't really think that they're worshiping, but it consumes their life. And the frailty of our heart is that we need something that will attract our devotion, that will captivate our interest, that will hold us. This woman thought that her heart was captivated by various relationships. But Jesus pointed out to her, even the man you've got now, he's not your husband. There's something deep inside this woman that was not being satisfied. She didn't have a knowledge of who she was and how God viewed her. And this one-to-one with Jesus, this heart-to-heart, helped to introduce her to the one who will captivate her heart and will satisfy her, not just from this moment, but throughout the rest of her life. Who do we worship? Jesus said to her, "We worship who we know." So our worship can be undefined, it can be anywhere. But our worship shouldn't be ignorant. We should know. We should be informed by the Word of God about the nature and the character of God. Jesus was brave to say to this woman, "We know who we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." He was able to say to her, "Look, we were his first love. And he's given us his word. He showed us his ways. He's acted on our behalf. And I want to share something about my knowledge of him with you." And thank God that we do have the scriptures. Thank God we have men and women who teach us the word of God and help introduce us to who God is. We've been singing about his ability in creation and his almighty power. But this morning, we're not just looking at the grandness and the bigness of God, but also saying how personal he is for us, how precious those moments can be that we can have with him. We worship who we know, Jesus said. Our worship should be informed. Informed by the word of God. And the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Where do we worship? Anywhere. Who do we worship? We worship him whose nature and character we know. And how do we worship? We're not talking about styles of worship, but our worship is to be inspired, not just informed, but inspired as well. Jesus said, the Father is seeking, he's looking for those who will worship him. That's a powerful statement and a big statement, a broad sweeping statement. When you go on the bus tomorrow, or when you walk down the street, or you mix throughout the week with people that you are familiar with, bear this in your heart and in your mind. The Father is seeking such to worship him. And ask yourself, are these who I see every day, are they worshippers? Do they know him? Have they had precious moments with him? Can I in some way introduce Jesus to them so that the Father's longing heart to be worshipped can be satisfied through their lives as well? For worship not only blesses God, and blesses us as an individual. But worship has a way of strengthening the body of Christ as we gather together in worship too. It's vertical, it's horizontal, but it's inward as well. Those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. When Jesus talked about being in spirit and in truth, yes, he's talking about the teaching, the truths of God's word, but he's also talking about worshiping him with a heart that's full of truthfulness and integrity. A heart that's won over by his love, where we've had those precious moments, where our emotions have been stirred, our affection has been turned towards him. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. So don't be afraid of emotional worship. It's good. We were created as emotional beings as well as intellectual beings. It's good that we engage our emotions, as well as our intellect in our worship. We will be enriched and fulfilled. Jesus is telling this woman of Samaria that a fulfilled life is a life that's filled full. He wanted her to know that her life could be filled full, not just of moments, but a life that's being refreshed by the water of life. At the well, Jesus was talking to her, and the topic of conversation was the water. And he said to her, if you keep drinking this water, you'll always be thirsty. But I've got a hidden source, a concealed spring of water. In verse 10, he talked about a concealed spring. If you knew who it was who was talking to you, then you would ask him and he would give you springs of living water. The water of life refreshes us, renews us, sustains us, cleanses, heals, sanctifies, satisfies us. The water of life. Water is a vital resource in our natural life, but what about our spiritual life? We need the water. So when Jesus was talking about the water that's springing up and the water that's satisfying, what was he talking about? Well, John gives us the answer in chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 30 says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood there in the midst of all the crowds in Jerusalem and he proclaimed in a loud voice, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, and he's quoting from various scriptures in Isaiah in the Old Testament, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's what Jesus proclaimed. And John explained by going on to say this, thus spake he concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The water that Jesus was referring to was the water of life. And the images in Scripture about the Holy Spirit, one of the major images about the Holy Spirit is that he is the water of life or the river of life. And this woman who was empty, who's trying to fill her life with so many things, at this moment, this precious moment with Jesus, was being offered a concealed spring. He said, if you only knew who it was that was talking to you, I could give you water that will satisfy you now, but it will continue to satisfy you tomorrow, the day after, the week after, the month after, and so on, and so on. If you knew, you would ask. Often we don't receive from the Lord because we don't ask. This woman had a precious moment. I guess she wasn't looking for it, but Jesus knew that was the direction he had to go. He had to go through Samaria. He met with this woman, and this precious moment, this encounter with the woman, gave her an opportunity to ask. Many times Jesus says, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door will be opened. He invites us to ask. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So Jesus said to this woman, although your life is empty and it's dry and thirsty, the word of God teaches, blessed are they that are hungry and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And perhaps you too, have you had that precious moment? Is your life being filled? For in verse 14, Jesus goes on to say this, whoever drinks will never thirst again. This spring that Jesus was talking about can be in your life. A spring that will satisfy you, that will constantly refresh your life, will make you attractive to people because they will be attracted to you because of Jesus in you. It will make you want to worship him, to praise him. It will fill your life with love and joy, thanksgiving. You will be a person that's fulfilled what the Father desires. Someone seeking. He's seeking someone to worship him. To make him the object and desire of their life. Jesus said this water is a satisfying spring. In verse 14 he also says, it's a constant spring. It will spring up within you into everlasting life. Have you got this spring of water, this living water? Is the Holy Spirit bubbling up within you? You know, sometimes people are so overwhelmed by the Spirit of God bubbling up within them, they start babbling and bubbling in tongues as well. It's kind of the overflow that happens from the bubbling that's going on inside. That's an easy way of putting it, isn't it? How about that one? Satisfying, refreshing, healing, cleansing, sustaining you. Constant spring in your life. springing up into everlasting life, a life that's not just for here and now, but for times to come as well. This woman had time alone with Jesus, and her life was transformed. If we read on in the chapter and also in the book of Acts, we find that she went, she shared, people responded. And when the word of God came to that area, everybody received it willingly. Because a fountain had been opened up. First of all in this woman's life, then in the life of those that she spoke to and introduced them to Jesus. And the Bible says in Revelation, he said, it's done. I am the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He wants to give you that spring within you. Final verses of the Bible describe the Spirit and the bride saying, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who is thirsty, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You know, there's a lot that can be said about the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. There's a lot that can be said about worship. There's a lot sometimes that's demanded of us of witness. But it all comes back to those precious moments where you have had an encounter with the Lord yourself. This woman had a precious moment. And we're going to, just before we sing our final hymn, I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and bow your head. And I'm going to ask you, if you've ever had one of those precious moments where you felt the Holy Spirit, you felt the Lord tugging at your heartstrings and saying, my child, come to me. Let me fill your life. Because a fulfilled life is a life that's filled full. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Have you ever invited Jesus into your life? Have you ever surrendered to him and said, Lord, I look back and I know that was a precious moment when you came into my life and my life was transformed. Maybe there's a moment where you look back and say, yes, I invited Jesus into my life, but my life seems to be dry and thirsty. I want that living spring bubbling up within me. I'm going to invite you this morning to pray this prayer with me. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, or if you're longing for more of his spirit of life bubbling up within you, then pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now. And I acknowledge my need of you. Lord, in this precious moment, I surrender to you. I ask you to forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. I thank you that you took my place and you died on the cross. The punishment that I deserve, you took it. I thank you for that. Cleanse me in your precious blood. And Father, I ask, for I know from your word that you are seeking those to worship you. Lord, capture my heart. Fill my life. Let your Holy Spirit be within me a bubbling spring, a constant spring, a satisfying spring that would lead to everlasting life. Fill me that I may be able to bring others to you. And Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this church and others listening today. I pray that they too will know that you satisfy the deep longing of every heart. Lord, we know that we don't always have those precious moments, but this is a precious moment. And I ask, Lord, that this will live in our hearts for time to come, and that, Lord, our lives will be transformed by your presence within us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you for listening this morning.